Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 30th on the West Coast, now March the 31st on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome anyone listening to us tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network, especially our brothers and sisters in the U.S. military, and those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. Also, those that may be listening in on satellite. And I'll thank whoever put us up there in space, because that's a comfortable place on this show. Lots to talk about tonight.
Some of you may
have noticed that, that Dr. Mike Castle was booked for the show. And I mentioned last night that due to a close relative passing away, he asked if he could bow out, and I said, of course, naturally. We want to let him know and his family that he is in our prayers, and or they are in our prayers, and we look forward to his speedy return back to the show. It's always a tragedy when we lose a loved one, and certainly worth paying our respects. So we have a replacement for him tonight, a regular guest on Evident Footprints, although he's been away for a while. And before I bring him on, I want to share something with you that is possibly going to be a segue into at least one of the topics that we're going to discuss tonight. So bear with me as I take us back in the past a little bit to a somewhat familiar TV show, and you'll probably recognize this voice as well.
Johnny, I want to tell you something. I'm very glad to be here, and I'm going to tell you, without me, your show tonight would have been nothing. This is a pretty fast league.
Yeah, oh, this is the eight troops are out here.
And
tonight.
I'm glad you saved me. Now, you know, because, you know, when you come on last, you're, did you ever get the feeling... did you ever get the feeling that the world was a tuxedo and you were a pair of brown shoes? And I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets worse.
I asked you about this before, and I think they thought you were making a joke, the fighter pilots. You were a pilot, right?
Oh, yes. I was a pilot during the war. You remember the war. It was in all the papers. And
I read it.
Well, I told you about that the last time I was on your show. But I fought the whole war in Oklahoma.
What were you saying?
I don't know why people laugh when I say that, you know. Because that's evidently where they needed me, or they wouldn't have sent me. No, go ahead and laugh. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But if you remember, you think back. No, first of all, I was an instructor. I was in B-29s first at Altus, Oklahoma, and then B-26s at Frederick, Oklahoma, and I was an instructor there. And if you think back, and I'm not mad at anybody or anything, but just remember, there was not one Japanese aircraft got past Tulsa.
Still stands, I understand.
Yeah,
to this day.
To this day. I think I haven't checked the papers.
Oh, well.
I've been working all day.
Of course you have.
Oh, yeah, I I was.
What commercial were you? Were you shooting a commercial today?
Yeah. And you don't believe that.
Whatever you say. Exactly what time did I lose control of the show?
Okay, a long time ago. Well, that was a clip, if you didn't recognize some of those voices. Somewhat fuzzy, hissy recording, but that was Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. And you heard primarily the voice of George Gobel. And George Gobel was actually a trainer of fighter pilots during the war that he said was in the paper. Everybody read about it in the newspapers over here. And Dean Martin and Bob Hope were also guests on the show with him. It's actually quite a longer piece, and he goes into more details. Of course, there are jokes. And it's strange that we can laugh about war now while we're in some other wars. And wars that are like World War II were contrived. They were contrived to make money for big banks and big corporations. And a lot of people gave their lives thinking that they were giving them for a cause. And in later years, we can laugh about that. But really, when those things went down, when they happened, they were pretty serious events. Much like what we're going through today. We're actually watching the systematic destruction of our country by a bunch of infiltrators, as I mentioned on last week's shows. We talked about this quite a bit. On Drew Rain's show yesterday, A Marine's Disquisition, I revealed some information that I found that goes along with much of my research. It actually helps connect the dots quite a bit more. And I brought up the issue that the Ellsbergers, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were put to death as spies who had given the Soviets nuclear secrets. And yet, it was revealed in a document in the diaries of Major George Racy. I have to think of his last name now. I'm drawing a blank. George Racy, I will think of his name, Jordan. Major Jordan's diaries actually revealed that FDR had signed and used the initials HH for Harry Hopkins on a document that actually gave blueprints for building nuclear facilities as well as the formulas for the atomic bomb. As early as 1943. And the Russians ran with this. Now, that's not what we were told in history. We were racing to produce this bomb. And they had already given the plans for the facilities to the Russians. To the Soviets, actually. I should clarify that, because this was a political ideology. The control of many, many countries in Eastern Europe. Satellites, they were called. Satellite states. And when I consider all the people that died in World War II and the amount of money that was spent on these munitions and supplies, and we're talking about airplanes and tanks, foodstuffs, on and on and on and on, billions of dollars was given to the Soviets, and we paid for it, and our government lied to us about it. They lied to us, and they're lying today about the same things. This war on terrorism is contrived. The terrorists are in Washington, D.C., and New York, and every other major capital around the world where they have a central bank or a major corporation. They're systematically destroying this country, and it's about time that we stand up and and do something about it. I'm not condoning violence, but we have minds, we have brains, and we have hearts. And certainly, we have a creator, and it's not the one that they would have us worship. That's what we're witnessing right now. The farce of healthcare and the spraying simultaneously of poisons in the skies, often referred to as chemtrails, or the poisoning of our water and our foods and our medicines, which are just more toxins. This is what they call healthcare. We have to put an end to this madness, and it's about time that we do that. Now, I'm going to end my rant with an introduction. Tonight's guest is an environmental scientist. He's a historian. He's an herbalist. And he's also an accomplished musical composer and musician. And he's my good friend, and hopefully yours, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning, Don. Great to be back. Thank you.
Well, you got to hear, hopefully you could understand what George Gobel was saying there. It's kind of funny, you know, he made the quip that no Japanese planes made it past Tulsa.
Yeah, I thought that guy sounded familiar. George Gobel, yeah, that's going back quite some time now. He was a comedian, if I recall right. And, yeah, it was amusing. And I guess he's made some valid statements. But following up with all your comments regarding that, Don, pertaining to that, you know, what's really disgusting is to know World War II, that we fought against the Nazis and the commies. We have to always remember Stalin and Hitler were allies in the beginning, which, you know, they don't teach us that anymore. And then Hitler stabbed him in the back a little later on. And, excuse me, no surprise that one of those dictators were going to stab each other in the back. And so our brave men and women that were caught up in World War II, well, as you said, was a facade, but it was a declared war, unlike the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Iraqi wars, the Bosnian conflict with under the commie Clinton administration. None of those were declared wars, which therefore are totally unlawful and unjustified to committing our troops and getting them involved in these conflicts.
Sure.
So,
and let's not forget Afghanistan.
Yes, yes.
This was a non-war, but have you ever heard of not defending yourself against an attack such as the USS Liberty?
There you go. Great, Don. I mean, how many people are aware of the USS Liberty incident?
Or the coal.
Yes, but the coal got plenty of exposure with Reagan. With Clinton. However, the USS Liberty, now that one got totally suppressed because we didn't get attacked by quote-unquote terrorists. Our supposed allies, the Israelis, sunk the US Liberty and killed many US Navy men. And they got away with it without an apology. LBJ covered it up. And to this day, no retributions to any of those men. So that's a real outrage right there, Don. I'm glad you brought that up because I love my country and I respect every man and woman that has committed their lives to protecting and defending this country. Whether they were misled by a traitorous government or not, I still honor these men and women serving in our military and to know that they're just treated like a bunch of resources that can be just tossed away without any remorse, no loss. That's disgusting. So, for example, now, World War II, we fight against the Nazis and the commies initially. And what happens? After World War II, up to now, we have a Nazi emblem building structure at Coronado Navy Base off San Diego. Now, all you got to do is go to any search engine, type in swastika building at U.S. Navy Base, and just look at the photographs that come up, and there you'll have it. Top-down satellite image showing a perfect swastika shape on a very large building, and there's no explanation, justifiable explanation from our government regarding that. They say it's coincidence that it just happens to look like a swastika.
From the sky, yes.
Yes. Now that's an insult, Don, to all the American men and women that fought in these foreign wars. It's an insult and a stab in the back. And just that one little fact right there proves everything is a big lie coming from our supposed representatives and authorities that we elect in our government.
Yes, and then there's 9/11 and Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City. We can go down a laundry list of events that occurred. There were two prior bombings of the World Trade Center when Clinton was in office.
That's right.
An event that occurred in Somalia. There was an event that occurred in Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. Black Hawk Down is the Somalia incident.
Yes. And the bombing of the barracks in Saudi Arabia.
Yep, and all our military men in these circumstances were set up to go down to be in a position to be overwhelmed by an enemy. And just to make us look bad, of course, Don, ultimately, all these events, these foreign war conflicts that we're referring to are essentially UN wars. Now, let's recall right after World War II, again, with, as you pointed out, with the atomic weaponry secrets being handed over by, Rosenberg. Is that Irish, that name?
Well, this event I described actually occurred during the war.
Yes, while FDR was president.
Major Jordan documented this. He was in charge of what was called the Lend-Lease program, which was a UN program. And again, another lie we were told was that we joined the UN on October 24th of 1945. We joined the UN on January 1st of 1942. And he included that account as well, the actual reprint of the original agreement, listing all the countries that were a part of this. So we were lied to about that as well. In fact, this was under the auspice of the UN that we entered the war. And we paid for that. Now,
World War II,
but our country paid for that.
I know World War II was setting the stage for the UN because after World War I, when they created the League of Nations,
Trust me.
Global bankers were trying to get the United States to get involved with this globalist government system called the League of Nations. And the United States, being much stronger at that period as an independent country, and Americans being more aware of not getting interested and involved in foreign intrigues. And so they couldn't get us involved. But after World War II, when Rockefeller bought Manhattan property and built that UN building and said, now, United States, you're in it. And so, of course, World War II was all structured to bring that about. Another attempt at a global government system that would be imposed on the United States, because all the other countries were already technically under the control of these international bankers, Europe under the Rothschild cabal. And the rest of the countries were third world everywhere else, so much easier, banana republic type governments, generally speaking, so much easier for these bankers to gain control over. The United States was their number one target, their main interest of subduing, because we as a country held up their globalist agenda. They couldn't pull it off, unless the United States was totally submitted. And that's what happened to us after World War II. They focused all their energies on us. Korean conflict and Vietnam, all the way up to now. Now, the Korean conflict, the first UN war, MacArthur was being very superior against the communists in the Korean conflict theater with the communist Chinese. And what happened was, even Truman fired MacArthur because MacArthur would not disclose his strategies to the United Nations liaison before he implemented them in the war. And so, therefore, he was victorious. The enemy didn't know what he was doing, and he was outsmarting them,
okay,
which
Michael,
is great for us.
Michael, I'm going to read a document to you and the listening audience, okay?
Okay, Don, now let me just say real quick, Truman fires MacArthur for being superior, for beating the communists, and he fires him for not submitting his plans ahead of time to the United Nations before he implemented them in his war. And so, what kind of crap is that? Our president fires our general because he's too good and the communists can't defeat us? And he's not disclosing his plans to the communists, which the United Nations is. It's a communist-structured government by the bankster cabal. It's just an outrage. It's disgusting. Now, go ahead, Don.
I'm going to read the document. This was submitted by Major George Racy Jordan from what is known as Major Jordan's Diaries, page 2. Joint Declaration by United Nations. Washington, D.C., January 1st, 1942. White House News Release. Declaration by United Nations. A joint declaration by the United States of America, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, China, Australia, Belgium, Canada, Costa Rica, Cuba, Czechoslovakia, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Greece, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras, India, Luxembourg, Netherlands, New Zealand, Nicaragua, Norway, Panama, Poland, South Africa, Yugoslavia. The governments signatory hereto, having subscribed to a common program of purposes and principles embodied in the joint declaration of the President of the United States of America and the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, dated August 14, 1941, known as the Atlantic Charter, being convinced that complete victory over their enemies is essential to defend life, liberty, independence, and religious freedom, and to preserve human rights and justice in their own lands as well as in other lands, and that they are now engaged in a common struggle against savage and brutal forces seeking to subjugate the world, declare: 1. Each government pledges itself to employ its full resources, military or economic, against those members of the tripartite pact and its adherents with which such government is at war. 2. Each government pledges itself to cooperate with the government signatory hereto and not to make a separate armistice or peace with the enemies. The foregoing declaration may be adhered to by other nations which are or which may be rendering material assistance and contributions in the struggle for victory over Hitlerism. Done at Washington, January 1st, 1942. Now, back then, they didn't call it Nazism. They called it Hitlerism. But that, it's titled at the top, Joint Declaration by United Nations. And declaration that each country would contribute, we paid for the Soviets.
Sure. So there you have an extension of the League of Nations strategy being reconstituted during the World War II scenario, which was, again, another bankster event.
Yeah.
The Rothschild Rockefeller bankers for their globalist agenda, they create the wars, they create the polarities, they financed the Bolsheviks in the early 1900s, they financed Hitler and the Nazis, and right through the whole war. Rockefeller was supplying them with oil.
We financed the whole war.
Yeah, you got it, Don. It's such a terrible joke on everybody.
On humanity.
Yes, on the whole world at large, while a very elite few control and manipulate all events, all circumstances, just to suit their own agenda, and all the lives and misery and suffering meant nothing to them because they believe the means justify the ends. And so it's just outrageous. Now, right after the World War II, what happens? The United States and the communist Russia countries are competing now to acquire as many of the Nazi scientists they could get, because primarily it's for the jet engine. At least that's what we're told. But we know perfectly well they were much more advanced past jet engines, and so there was a great interest to grab all these Nazi scientists so that they can exploit them with the technology technologies that they've created and were pursuing. Now, the jet engine, it was right on the History Channel, right after World War II in London, England, after the Americans were able to get the jet engine going successfully, because we got enough Nazi scientists to make it happen. Then in London, British scientists are playing billiards with Russian scientists who are communists. Supposedly, we're enemies. This is after World War II, the Cold War and all this, trade treason if you're cohorting, associating, or supplying any an enemy to your country with anything that's national security. And so yet, right in England, Russian, British scientists playing billiards with commie Russian scientists, which, first of all, doesn't make sense. And then, after the billiards, they're kicking back, and the British scientists give the Russian scientists the Rolls-Royce jet engine to go home with. They gave it to him, handed it to him, because the Russians couldn't get the jet engine. They failed. And then, right on the History Channel, they point out that they didn't realize just a year or two later that we would, the Allies, in particular the Americans, would be fighting Russian jets over the skies of Korea. And so there you have it. Again, more evidence that the bankster cabal spreading around the lethal technology to our enemy, supposed enemy, and yet there's no accountability for it when they acquire this technology via some kind of source. And yet there's no treason now or anything. Then a war comes about, and that war drags the United States into it, first really technical UN war, and there would have never been a war. If the Russians never got the jet engine, they could have never threatened us. There would have been no threat, and therefore the bankster cabal had to make sure their comrades in communist Russia got that technology so they could then go after the United States and undermine us to gradually, over time, first of all, give us moral defeats. Korean War, Vietnam War, Americans weren't allowed to win. Iraq War, Afghanistan War, right up Bosnia War, we're not allowed to win. We're just sitting ducks.
It's how you play the game. It's not whether you win or lose, right? It's how you play the game.
Well, Don, we're really target shoots for this enemy of our country, and all designed to, one, demoralize us, to break us down, and at militarily demoralize, and also to allow the United Nations to also gain more dominance in the world governments, because, oh, there's a conflict in Korea or Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan or in the Middle East, right? And, oh, but the UN's here. The peacekeepers from the UN are here to ensure peace, and they're going to help work it out between the arguing governments. And see, it's all a facade. It's all by design to set up the United Nations with supremacy while they dismantle the United States' superiority. And so we have nothing but high treason everywhere in our government, through our whole education system, our court system, and I just pray our military men and women are listening and understand that we want them home, protecting our borders. If there's really a war on terrorism, come on home, shut our borders down. Otherwise, everything else is meaningless. It's got to be a big lie. How can this war be really considered serious and our borders are wide open, where an enemy can stroll right across 24/7, 365 with its suitcase bomb and come right in anytime they want?
Well, you know, it's that, and I take to heart what you're saying, and I'm sure many listeners are too. You know, these instructions that were given to Major Jordan to ship tons and tons of documents that were passing over the border from either from Newark Airport or the Great Falls base, which originally was called Gore Field, and they changed the name to Malmstrom Air Force Base later on. Now, allegedly, the base is closed, but I suspect they have an underground base there today. And that's how they hide the fact that it's still open. Because it was a major shipping point up to Fairbanks, and then a 6,000-mile completed by taking all of these munitions and planes and tanks and foodstuffs and on and on and on. Tons of documents. Roadmaps of the entire country, the mileage of the railways between towns and cities across the country, great details. And this man eventually, to facilitate the Soviets, this Colonel Kotikoff, who was in charge of the procurement of all of these supplies that were that the Americans were paying for and giving to them for free under the auspice of a lend-lease program.
Right.
They were supposed to pay this back. And they,
sure.
The accounts at the later on, at the end of the section, where in the 2 years he worked, basically he tracked over $8 billion in equipment that was given to them. In 1943 dollars.
That's amazing. Yeah.
To 1942 to 1944 dollars.
Simultaneously, while that's going on, Don, you had Ford helping the communist Russians out with their auto industry, which was really tanks. And GE was building power plants so they could have power. I mean, the commies, like, you know, the commies in Russia killed all their intelligentsia. They killed anybody that could threaten their totalitarianism. And so everybody with intelligence had to die. Leaders in education. And so therefore they cut their feet off. They couldn't make anything on their own. And so good old FDR with the Rockefeller holding hands with them, making sure that we help our comrades out there in old Russia. Yeah, let's help them out. All the while though, they're our enemies supposedly, and there's a Cold War. And Americans are, especially during the espionage, all their lives are in jeopardy and stuff while they're trying to gain control, insight and intelligence on the enemy. And so, Don, it's, you know, the more you learn all this, the more you realize it's all a big lie and that there's a controlling elite behind the scenes, manipulating everything.
Yeah,
and FDR even admitted that, right? Nothing happens in politics by chance; it's all by design.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now we had the ruse of this Cold War. Keep in mind that at one point, half of the stockpile of uranium that we had was given to the Soviets. We had 4.5 pounds, and they gave them half of that. And the instructions to build a bomb, as along with the instructions on building a nuclear facility in which to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the plans given to them by the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
You know, Don, you know what's really crazy and sad? Boy, that reminds me of back in the 90s with the commie Clinton administration. Boy, those poor communist Chinese just didn't know how to launch a missile, Don. Couldn't get it off the ground. It would just wobble and crash. So good old slick Willie commie Clinton says, don't worry, I'll give you the technology and I'll send over the manpower. We'll show you how to launch those missiles. And then the compassionate conservative boy George Bush administration comes in. Now, well, the communist Chinese could launch a missile at this point, but they couldn't hit a target. So good old compassionate conservative Christian boy George Bush says, I'll show you how to hit a target. I'll send you over the technology and the manpower, and we'll make those missiles hit their bullseye. Boy, Don, I guess some things just don't change over here with our government, huh?
Yes. Yes. And you know, Major Jordan went through some very detailed descriptions of the significance of the amount of these nuclear materials that they were given. And you know, what was the story that was told to the American people? This is what really gets my goat here. He says, on the presumption that 1,465 pounds of uranium salts were contributed to the Soviet Union, metallurgists estimate that they were reducible in theory to 875 pounds of natural uranium, which in turn would yield 6.25 pounds of fissionable U-235. But 4.4 pounds of the latter, or nearly 2 pounds less, are capable of producing an atomic explosion. And he cites the authority for making that statement. There was a congressional hearing also about this. Mm-hmm. He had made such waves. He had presented his reports on what was going on in Newark, in Great Falls, Montana, and in Fairbanks. Buried Pratt and Whitney engines. They were buried in the snow. Tires that were stripped of their wrappings and stacked in piles, buried in the snow. Huge crates. Some of these crates were the whole construction of whatever it was that they had ordered, sitting in the snow, as if it was being stockpiled for maybe an intrusion into the country at a later date.
Wow.
Or to be withheld and snuck out of the country later on to be turned over to the black market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just speculating on,
sure,
what that would be. But he reported this to Congress.
Right.
And out of all of the senators that were involved in this hearing, only three believed what he said. He had the entire documentation, his notes. He called it a diary, but he literally copied down names and some of these communications. The Soviets were always saying, oh, these are diplomatic pouches, you know, don't touch them. And at one point when they had tried to get him drunk, he was invited to go out to dinner the first time with Kotikov and some of his men, about 10 of them. And they were doing shots of vodka, toasting the various war heroes from each country. And he got a call to go to the base. He had instructed people at the airport not to allow this particular C-47 that had its engine running from departing. He said, if they attempt to leave, you call me immediately. And he got that call during that dinner. After maybe 10 or so shots of vodka, he went down there and he challenged the people guarding it. Now, you imagine these people are dressed in suits like businessmen. They were probably KGB, number one. And they were insisting that those were diplomatic pouches, black patent leather. There were in groups of 50, these pouches, like briefcases. And they used just a funky little cord to tie them, and they were sealed with a red wax. And every third pouch he would open up. He just cut open the cord with a knife, open it up, and pull out the papers and take some notes of what he saw. This is how he discovered the bill of lading, which really wasn't a bill at all. It was a dossier of this private communication transferring all of the nuclear plans.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's they just smuggled it out that easily, right in the right in front of some of good American people like this general.
Now, Richard Nixon was on this committee. Okay, Richard Nixon said he believed him. Some years later, 10 years later, in fact, or roughly 9, 10 years later, all of a sudden, Nixon is vice president. And who becomes president? Another infiltrator.
Mm-hmm. And it's around this time frame that Senator McCarthy, World War II vet hero, becomes senator. And he's exposing the communist infiltration through Hollywood. And so they really went after him, and they slandered him. He was, unfortunately, a drinker, and they exploited that. And they just discredited him amongst the public so that through their controlled media, Rockefeller Media, the papers and all that, they ganged up on him and discredited him so that convincing the public, sheeple reading those rag commie papers, that MacArthur was just a drunk and, you know, there's really no concern, there's no alarm. We really don't have communists here.
Yes.
Now, especially in Hollywood, huh?
Yeah.
And you know, Don?
If you want to say that the central banks weren't involved at all in this, or if they would deny being involved, they were able to tabulate the value. Actually, at one point, he accounts for $9,477,666,000 worth of munitions and non-munitions. That's one tally that he had made.
Wow.
He has different breakdowns of aircraft and parts, motor vehicles and parts, ordnance and ammunition.
We literally built them right up.
Tanks and parts, watercraft. And remember, he found some of these things buried in the snow along the fences outside the airport there.
And even back then, there wasn't enough people in our personnel in our military, Don, that were astute like he was and recognized, you know, something terribly wrong is going on here, and somebody's consorting with the enemy.
Well,
and
this is being conducted out of this UN Depot 8.
Right, but like you said, nobody...
At Newark Airport, so they knew about this.
Right, he was exposing it, but you said really only, what, two other senators really considered this to be a real serious concern?
Yes, and he also provided proof that the Soviets were given plates for making different denominations of bills.
I was just going to get to that. They must have gave him that, too.
And the paper.
Yeah.
The counterfeit money. Okay? Now, what does this have to do with what's going on today? Well, you mentioned Slick Willie and...
Communist China with the missiles, and then followed up by compassionate conservative.
Quantigate and the intentional bringing down of the Soviet Union financially was their way of getting the money back. But did they give it to us? No. They stole it. You see?
That's what they do, Don.
They stole. That money was out there. See, this document I'm talking about, the Major Jordan's diaries, actually shows where the money went. And then when they destabilized the ruble, and they did this with the assistance of Gorbachev, I'm sure, and probably
sure.
Putin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because Gorbachev, after that, he lived over here at the Presidio in California.
Yeah, and then
promoting the United Nations, by the way.
They say this is the end of the Cold War, and they tear down the Berlin Wall, and then the ransacking begins.
Okay. Now, Don, simultaneously with this, don't forget that they used this to convince Americans that communism was dead.
Yes.
There's no more threat. Now, just look back from that point to now, how the Americans dropped their guard and felt like there was no enemy out there anymore, nothing to worry really about. And we really got sloppy ever since as an American people. Very sloppy.
Yes. They even ordered one tobacco pipe at a cost of $10. That's how detailed he was in keeping the records. And he suspected that it might have been for Joseph Stalin. He didn't
Uncle
know for
Joe.
Sure.
I'm sure it was compliments of FDR.
Yes.
To Uncle Joe.
Yes. So now where this plays into what's going on today is the fact that here, this is a form of racketeering, okay, before they actually had the RICO statutes. This was
absolutely,
okay?
Absolutely, 100%.
Under the guise of a war, but this was a contrived war, just to make money.
What about the Trading with the Enemy Act? I guess it doesn't apply to them, huh?
Well, that was the basis for the hearings, you see. But it was swept under the rug as if it didn't happen.
That's right.
And it didn't hit the history books.
Nope.
It wasn't what we were taught in the schools.
And they just killed General Patton just shortly after all this, too, you know.
Now, simultaneously, when they were bringing back Soviet spies by the thousands.
Into Hollywood and other places, absolutely, John.
He describes how they got off the plane and literally ran to jump the fences.
Boy, sounds like...
To get into the taxi cabs.
Sounds just like how they're coming up from Mexico these days. They just know exactly what the routines are. Soon they cross that line.
Yeah. They came in through Great Falls, Montana, primarily, through this operation. Now, this was during the period, and this is going on during the war. So here we are, we're supplying all these materials to fight a war. The American people are supplying this. Because they're being taxed to death and working slaves to keep this military-industrial complex going.
Absolutely. It's all on the back of the U.S. taxpayer, and as I always say, compliments to the U.S. taxpayer.
And they're sending spies. Now, this dovetails right into my Eisenhower research. Absolutely dovetails into it.
Mm-hmm.
And this became part of what I will be revealing in the next Eisenhower piece. How all of this connects to identity theft and robbing the VA assets that were there in place supposedly to service the members of the military that were coming back disabled and ill from having been exposed to biochemical weapons and all the injuries that they incurred.
Yep, they just discarded them like, you know, I know vets that swear that they got help, good help, the government treated them well. I've come across them, but all in all, that they're the rare cases. Most of the vets were ignored and just cast aside.
Yes. Oh, they're, and the chemicals that are listed with this, too. A lot of these are related to, you know, the production of atomic material.
Sure. And so, Don, what you have here is, bottom line, more and more evidence just constantly verifying the primary fact that we have been infiltrated by foreign agents and posing as Americans and getting involved in taking over our government, literally hijacking it, as well as industry, American industry. This is the bottom line from all of all this information that you're providing. That's the bottom line, and how so many Americans still don't see it to this day just baffles me to no end. And I recall another incident, Don, while under the Slick Willie Commie administration. Let's recall his great Secretary of State, Madeleine Not Too Albright. And when she went to Korea, North Korea, and gave them nuclear technology, and when conservatives in this country were berating her for that, what was her reply? It's not fair that the United States is a superior country in the whole world. It's not fair. We got to share this with everybody else. And yet she was never thrown in jail for those comments. Just like old man Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, admitting in his memoirs that he sold the Saudis. He's a traitor, and he's glad, happy for it, and totally, you know, elated by it. And yet, he gets away with it too. But Albright actually states that publicly, and yet she just gets away with it. It's unbelievable. Now, under the supposed Patriot Act, she should be in jail for. What do they call it, Don? Under the Patriot Act law now, you're an enemy combatant you're working with the enemy, giving them technologies for war. And yet, boy, they get away with every time. It's just disgusting. Disgusting to no end.
Yes. You know, when you said Madeleine Albright, I think of the lady that played the part of the psychic in Poltergeist. Carol Ann, come to the light.
I can barely remember that. Does she look like her? Does she wear a big hat all the time?
It's kind of the same, you know, body shape and similar, very similar. Anyway,
okay.
You reminded me.
I got the picture totally now. So, and she's disappeared. You know, we don't see her around in the news for quite a long time now. I wonder what subversive activity she's involved with these days.
They all retire to the think tanks, don't they?
That's right.
Now, I made a very interesting discovery about Dick Cheney yesterday, and I'll be revealing that in the coming days. This is, you know, these biographies that they put out for public consumption, it's you couldn't paper train a puppy with that, okay? one that had to really, really go, okay? You couldn't paper train a puppy with the documents that they print their bios on.
Amen to that.
I'm going to make a very startling connection, but it's going to fit in with tonight's topic and this topic of the infiltration of Eisenhower. I see Eisenhower, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but Eisenhower was actually working with the Democrats behind the scenes. He ran on the Republican ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, who do we recognize as the sympathizers of communism today? Don't we see the liberal left as that political group, that political
Absolutely.
Party?
Absolutely. No question about it. In our time frame, the Democratic Party is synonymous with communists, even though they like to use the term liberals, which now, Don, has been changed to progressive.
Yes.
They're progressives.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I'm absolutely convinced, and I know that my readers will be convinced of the same thing when they see the evidence of how Eisenhower's phony birth certificate was created, because that's what I'm bringing to the forefront, not just describing how it was handled in the previous articles. I'm going to show how they paid for it. Okay, and how they set up this system. And it began in the same year, 1942. Do you think that's a coincidence? And we often say on this show, there are no coincidences.
Okay. That's right, Don.
That it began in 1942. I have proof of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That unbeknownst to a lot of people, there was a collection of communications stored in a file cabinet. And there was a major fire, and it was presumed that those documents were destroyed, but they weren't.
Thank God.
And they went into the possession of the very judge that issued the birth certificate, which in and of itself is also very interesting. Okay? Because this was not kosher, you know, to use a word. Okay? And yet, in a sense, it was kosher.
Totally kosher.
But it wasn't kosher, if you get what I mean. All right.
Now there's an irony for you.
and it leads all the way to Lyndon Johnson.
Good old LBJ.
Yep. And you brought up Vietnam, and certainly he played a role there. And I brought up the Liberty. You know,
that's right.
He was the one issuing the orders for the military to stand down
and let that ship sink to the bottom of the sea.
Not to defend themselves.
Don't make any rescue attempts.
And if that wasn't treason, I don't know what is.
Amen.
But you know, I'm going to demonstrate the links. And you know what? It's the same group today. That's
Absolutely.
In Washington. Okay.
Yep.
Doing the bidding of the short-legged Mac Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing the bidding of this international cabal. This guy
Barry Sotoro is more commie than Clinton's.
Well, I prefer to call him Barry Rockefeller if we're actually going to give him a name.
Yeah.
You know.
True. Absolutely. He's a Rockefeller boy.
First syllable of each name.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah.
So,
as I affectionately call him, the quack insane Obama, but that's my affectionate term for him. I have another one, but I'll keep that off air.
You know,
I don't know if kids are listening.
Well, I just wonder what his wife would wear as a dress were he to win another election on acceptance night, you know, on election night.
Let's shudder the thought.
Would it be another species of spider, or would we get into the realm of the serpents this time?
Yeah, I'm seeing more vampire next time for the conference. Maybe the Bride of Frankenstein.
I laughed. I heard somebody, one of these talking heads, female talking heads in mainstream media, several months after that event, describing her red and black cocktail dress that she wore to that event.
Yeah.
the underbelly of a black widow spider.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, talk about putting voodoo in your face.
You know? Yeah. No question about it. Unfortunately, our country's in the hands of a bunch of despotic losers. Egomaniacs is an understatement. And these people are so despotic that they have no souls, that I just don't understand how Americans don't see this. Enough Americans still don't recognize this. I mean, his polls are way down, all-time low. I don't remember where they're at right now, Don, but I think they're down in the 30% range. And yet, there's people out there that will still favor this guy. And what's incredible is we don't even know anything about this guy. What's his real background? It's all a facade. It's all mysterious. There's a fog around it. We're not really allowed to know. They want him to be this mysterious guy coming out of nowhere. But he's definitely evil, just like the previous administrations with the Bushes and the Clintons. And they're actually, it's very interesting to note, you know, after old man Bush, which really started to dig the hole to bury the United States when he became president, old man Bush, after being vice president with Reagan, as soon as he became president, he began to dig the hole. And then Clintons come in, and my God, they dug that hole deeper and faster. And then Boy George comes in, and that good old compassionate conservative, he kept digging even deeper, more than the Clintons, which was stunning. But the conservatives like Limbaugh and Hannity, all those phony conservatives, didn't have a problem with the Republican Party digging the hole deeper to bury the United States in and the American people.
And it was all thievery. It was all embezzlement of public funds.
Sucking us dry while they're quote-unquote, offshoring jobs. What a nice little term for selling out the American people, selling out their jobs that they built up, that all these businesses owe their whole existence to, Americans that built it up, and yet they offshore to slave labor countries. And nobody's making a big deal out of it. Everything's okay. And now we got this loser, Barry Rockefeller Sotoro, and he is even worse than the previous guys. This guy's digging a hole so fast in his first year, deeper and deeper, he's going to hit China.
Well, he spent more money than
That's
I think,
right.
than they did since World War II.
Man.
in a year and 3 months.
That's right. It's outrageous. But nobody, you know, he gets away with it. The media is just always glossing over this guy like he's a wonder boy, you know, like they did with Slick Willie. Of course, they had their fun with Boy George because he was such a daffy idiot, you know. Strategery, it's got to resonate, you know, instead of resonate. I mean, the guy was a buffoon. But with Clinton, you know, they really glossed him up and always, you know, protected him, his image. Oh, he's great. He's smart.
It was enough Rockefeller, wasn't it?
Yep. And the same thing with this Barry Sotoro boy. They're dressing him up like he's a real wonder boy.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we're about out of time. Have you heard The Great Reneger? Have you heard that yet?
I have heard that. And my hat off to that guy there. Now, that's a clever little tune, a great satire, great parody. Really well done.
Yeah, it's written by and produced by Michael Fisher. He's going to be my guest on Thursday night.
Okay.
Actually, Ken Adachi's on. I'd like to play this. And I'd like to get some closing comments for you before we close tonight's show,
great.
If I may do that.
By all means.
All right, here we go. The Great Reneger.
Broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN.
But these negotiations will be on C-SPAN.
It'll be on C-SPAN. It will be streaming over the net. We're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN.
We're going to have the negotiations televised on C-SPAN.
It'll be televised on C-SPAN. I can't guarantee it'll be exciting, so not everybody's going to be watching.
But all this will be done on C-SPAN in front of the public.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
Hey, have you heard? He's gone back on his word on the internet. There's a big long list of promises broken, so eloquently spoken. You wonder why so many millions of pissed, because he's a great renegger, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art. He's the great renegger, he's a black or white, he's many shades of gray, far left from what's right.
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business. Sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. Meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public. No more secrecy. That's the commitment I make to you as president.
He'll tell you anything to get you on his side, like a change you can't believe in. Trust me, when I lie, we'll have transparency. C-SPAN, post bills on the net. There'll be no lobbyists, no court. Have we seen it? The great renegger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's the great renegger. He's a black or white. He's many shades of gray. Far left from the strike.
When there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online, find out what's in it before I sign it.
We will put government data online in universally accessible format.
Please abort and retry.
They've had votes in the night. Behind closed doors, senators bribe, no better than whores. Pushing their programs, refusing to hear, when the voice of the people is perfectly clear. Cause he's the great renegger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's the great renegger, either black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from what's right.
President will be to guide this process so that it's an honest process.
His skin's so thin, when scratched you can see the horrible sight that lies just beneath. An unseasoned novice lifted up in pride, but there's a fall coming soon. There'll be no place to hide. Cause he's the great renegger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's the great renegger, neither black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from what's right. Teleprompter in place, he can really talk that talk. Blowing smoke is cheap, but he don't walk the walk. What a politician hates is when you turn on the light. He'll run like a roach for the darkness of night. Cause he's a great renegger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art.
I'll let citizens track federal grants, contracts, earmarks, and lobbying contracts. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations.
That didn't sit well with Justice Alito, who shook his head in disagreement and appeared to mouth the words, not true.
Ask questions in real time. Offer suggestions that will be reviewed before decisions are made.
Transparent and accountable to the American people.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
I don't know about you, Michael. I love the music, but I heard nothing but disingenuous rhetoric.
Don, I have actually put my hip waders on because of all the BS that was being flung by that lying, good-for-nothing, foreign-born loser. You know, what was not included in that great song was also he was going to bring all the troops home, I recall him saying that too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah, yeah. The only thing transparent about this loser we have as acting president is that he's very transparent, and he's obviously so full of BS, it's coming out of his ears, and his eyes are brown.
Well, how can I comment? What can I say? You said it all. Well, Michael Fisher composed that song, and if anyone out there listening wants to get a copy, they can go... Actually, I posted it on my website under music videos. There's a direct link at directlightproductions.com on the music videos page. And you can go directly to Michael's site, thegreatreneger.com. Reneger is spelled R-E-N-E-G-E-R. Okay, that's someone that goes back on their word. And seems like, yeah, if you could see the graphics, when you have these big orchestra hits with the timpani and everything, he's spelling out the word lies on the screen.
Very nice. And, you know, I think he should be in a Guinness Book of World Records for reneging.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have a particular spot in the book for that category.
Well, you'd have to add up every time he's been on TV telling people what's going on, because we're certainly not hearing the truth from our alleged leaders, and as I call them affectionately, using a hyphen, infill hyphen traitors.
That's right, Don. That is exactly what they are. And I wish in their seances with their black magic that they tune into Ted Kennedy so they can get a feel for where they're going to be when they join up with him, when that day comes and the bucket stands before them and they have to kick it. And that day will come for all of them.
Yes. Well, I, you know, after seeing this video and just thinking about the words of Pastor James David Manning, who gave me permission to use his term, the long-legged Mac Daddy, I demoted this guy to the short-legged Mac Daddy. And with that, we have to say goodnight, Michael, but I want to thank you for filling in for Dr. Michael Castle tonight, and I want to let the listening audience know that you'll be with us in the month of April, and we're going to be talking about, I'm sure, chemtrails and some remedies for dealing with the poisons that they're spraying in our skies. Despite the fact that we don't know what we're talking about, I saw a cowboy movie, one of these Robert Duvall movies, with chemtrails in the sky.
Yeah, don't you love it? That just fits in with the Western theme, right?
You know, this is supposed to be like the early 1800s,
that's
and
right.
There's chemtrails in the
sky. That's right. That's right. They're so common. You see it a lot now in Hollywood productions. They're so common.
But and, they're not spraying anything. X's.
Yeah.
Grids, you know.
Yeah. It is, Don. It's right in our face. It's blatant as all could be. But it's all a figment of our imagination.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. And
my pleasure.
And it was an interesting discussion. And I look forward to the next one. You're very popular. A lot of people have been missing you around here lately.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. And it's always a blast, Don, to be with you. And I hope everyone out there listening is doing well. May the good Lord bless you. And I look forward to being back with Don. I really want to get into a lot of spiritual stuff with you, Don, so that we can show everybody that's listening to you. We can provide them with good insight on how to manage in this terrible world that we're being that they're creating around us with this enslavement system and tyranny, how we can still get through it all and come out on top with your soul intact, your health intact, because the good Lord, his light still shines 24/7, and everything that dwells in that light will always be protected. And so I look forward to discussing that with you, Don, in the future.
Yes, okay. And I want to just put a word out there. This is an afterthought from tonight's show and things that have been going on over the past few weeks. There's a lot of hope and attention being given to a group that's calling itself the Restore America Plan. And if you take the first letter of each one of those words, T-R-A-P, it spells the word trap. Consider that before you submit to an alleged attempt to make you a sovereign citizen and take back the country, because all it is a data mining expedition. It's a PSYOP. And I did the research many weeks ago, and I've shared it with a few people, and there are others out there that have come to the same conclusions. So be wary. The power is within us. As Michael often says, we have the power. God gave it to us. He gave us the brains. Start using the brains like God created us to use them, and stop depending on mainstream media to tell you the truth about what's going on, because they're the liars. They're the professional liars for those who lie in government. And you just heard a song about the lying, and it's quite simple language in a country music tune, or let's say a rockabilly song, if you want to call it that, with a southern flair to it. Nonetheless, music often tells us the truth in a very simple way, and that's a very powerful song and video that Michael Fisher wrote. He's showing us the truth in a very simplified way, and we have it right before us. We have the power if we align ourselves with our Creator and recognize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places.
Yes, sir, Don, that's right. And their trap to get us into their grip,
yes,
is to get us caught up in vices, people. It's
another contract is all it is.
If you stay out of vices, you're staying out of traps that ensnare the body, ensnare the soul, ensnare the mind. Live virtuously 24/7 to the best of your ability. Rely on God. Develop that connection you have. You don't need a middleman to talk to your Creator. Open up your heart. Find a heart. If you don't have it yet, get it open. That's the doorway that leads to your connection with the Creator. And then you live virtuously, and you'll be happy like I am, and everybody else that lives virtuously. My life is going good. My health has never been better. And I can't say enough good about how much the Lord's blessing me all the time. Only because I do my best to live virtuously. And we'll get into this next time. When the Lord said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Notice how no one mentions what does God want. I mean, okay, Caesar had something coming to him because it was his coin. It was his image on it. That was his. But what did the Lord refer to about render unto what is God's? And when the Lord said that, he said it with a major emphasis, with some force behind it, because that's the key to it all. And when we find out all the Lord wants is a good people, living virtuously, that's real nobility. Not these phony bankers and senators and congressmen living, getting rich off the U.S. taxpayer, and they consider themselves noblemen, royalty, because they're so materially wealthy. They're losers. They're going to end up in hell. But real nobility comes from a virtuous, noble soul with a good, honest heart, and you'll have nobility like nothing else, and everybody will admire you everywhere you go because they'll see that in you. And then you'll realize that that's real nobility that you will take with you, and that's what makes the soul grow, and that's what keeps you safe at a harm's way, even when you're in harm's way. The shields, the bubbles of protection will be around you, because the Lord takes care of his own every single time. And that's what they don't want us to know.
Yes. Amen. Michael, got to say goodnight now. Thank you. And look forward to your next appearance on the show. Folks,
Good night, Don.
You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Also want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom at bbsradio.com for making Evident Footprints possible, Dr. Len Horowitz for asking his audience to hang in there to listen to tonight's show, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.